Fair warning, I ate a big steak hour prior to this conversation, and I got a little sleepy, so I drank some caffeine, so you have been warned. With me today is a man named James Bond, and, you know, when I reached out to him, I was kind of suspicious if it was the James Bond, but it wasn't the Octopussy James Bond, but, you know. This man is he's an author of an award-winning book, Brain Glue, and how selling becomes much easier by making your ideas sticky. So let me introduce you guys. This is James Bond. I appreciate you being here, James.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for having me. Love your podcast. It rocks.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's nice of you to say. Is James Bond a common name?
Yeah, I don't know. This is the only time I've heard it in the last 5 minutes. I'm walking with my wife into there's a whole location that has a church on it, and it was just a really cool area. And so we're walking up, and there's, I guess, a security guard and his wife there. And he says, "Hey, how's it going?" I said, "Not bad." I said, he says, "Hey, I'm Joe, and this is my wife, Mary." I said, "Hey, how's it going? I'm James. This is my wife, Pam." Then I pause for a second. I go, "Actually, my name's James Bond." He starts laughing, yes. Which is common, by the way. I could come back a year from now and walk across the lawn, and he'd still remember my name. Okay,
oh, it's such a good opener. It's like the perfect name. It's such a good opener. You can get yourself into anything with a name like that. People will think you're kidding, and you're like, "No, I'm not kidding. My name is actually James Bond."
Well, I think that's why I say James I Bond, so at least it's a little easier to find. Because people look up for my book and they say James Bond, and Sean Connery beats me for good reason. But I think it's because my name is James Bond that got me into Brain Glue. Is the whole idea of the fact that there are certain things that you could say and people remember it. You only say it once, you know.
Is that where it all started?
I think so. I mean, it. I didn't think of that. But, you know, now that I'm looking back after I put it together, I realize that, you know, because that's Brain Glue is all about the fact that you can say something, you know, like rhyme is a good example. Jack and Jill went up the
hill.
We all know that. Okay.
Right, right.
And we could have heard it like 10, 20, maybe 50, 60 years ago. Like for me, I'm old. And yet we remember it like it was yesterday. There were certain things that stick to the brain. James Bond sticks to the brain. So I didn't think of it until after I created the book and started talking to people. And, you know, and people laugh, like they laugh off. And it's like, "What's your name?" "James Bond." Oh, you know. But
yeah. So continuing with the origin story, why? Why did you get here? Why Brain Glue? Like,
so Brain Glue is about emotional selling. I'm originally from Montreal. I've lived in Southern California for about 40 years. In fact, we named our middle daughter Lauren Asia, L.A. So we know as soon as she was born, we know how long we've been here. And in Montreal, I worked my way up with an advertising agency and eventually won major clients like Kraft Foods, Timex Watches, Avon Cosmetics, Seagram's, our world headquarters is there. And so I had the opportunity to win the anti-drug campaign in America with powerful, logical reasons why you shouldn't do drugs. And I lost, and I deserve to lose. And I lost to this guy who created an ad with a guy holding an egg saying, "This is your brain." And he cracks the egg and drops it into a sizzling frying pan. "This is your brain on drugs." Any questions?
Seen it.
Fabulous ad. I mean, it's just really, most people who've ever seen it remember it. And I realized two things. First is it was infinitely more powerful than my ad. Mine was just logic. This is emotion. But the second thing was it was emotional selling, you know, and I don't know how to do emotional selling. You know, I went to school. They don't talk about it in school. I checked for books. No book talks about it. And so I created a box. I put it right next to my computer and I call it the passion box. And I wrote on a 3x5 card, "Your brain on drugs," so I'd remember the ad. Whenever I saw something or heard somebody say something, it was really emotionally powerful. Rather than trying to overanalyze it, I would write it on a 3x5 card or tear it out of a magazine if it was there and put it in my passion box, okay? After about 10 years, we moved to Southern California and I met John Gray. And John Gray wrote a book called Men, Women, and Relationships. And he was telling me people who read the book were blown away. They said, this is the most incredible relationship book I've ever read. But he was frustrated because almost nobody was buying his book. So he got this crazy title he was telling me. He said, why don't I call it Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? And then just refer to it a little bit throughout the book. Guess what happened? He went from 20,000 books sold to 50 million. Not 50,000. Yeah,
I've actually heard of that book that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, that's
and
crazy.
It's because it grabs people's attention. And they go like, yeah. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? What? And so when I got home, I was going to put the book in my box, in my passion box. And I stopped and I went, wait a second. This is a metaphor. Men are not really from a different planet. Although I think a lot of women think we're from a different planet. We kind of act that way sometimes, you know?
Yeah, they might be onto something.
Yeah, for sure. I know we actually are from a different planet. We didn't
Especially
realize.
You Canadians.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Hey.
But anyway. But what happened was I realized, like, wait a second, this is a metaphor. You know, I mean, he's basically saying men are so different from women that it's almost like we're from a different planet. You know, and that's what Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus basically says. And then I realized, like, wait a second, is metaphor the secret to emotional selling or one of the secrets? So I took the passion box and I dumped it on my bed because after 10 years, I had a ton of examples of samples. And I realized that I discovered that metaphors is one of 14 brain triggers at the heart of emotional selling. I thought my brain was going to explode. Like, did I just figure out something that nobody figured out? And so, yeah, really. And so I had these three guys who had a construction company who after 10 years, I was a client. They were a client. And after 10 years, they had $2 million of sales. It's not bad. $2 million of sales, right? Ha! In 1 year, by applying brain glue, they went from 2 to 10 million in sales, and they reached 32 million in sales 2 years later. All because I was able to apply this? You know, it freaked me out. And it's like we had an online company. We had an online product we were selling, a pet supplement. And, you know, I remember calling and I started applying brain glue to this. And it really freaked me out. It scared me, actually, because I was making so much money. You know, would you believe it? You get scared because you start making more money than you're used to.
Is it because
calling my wife and I said,
of losing it, the money?
It feels like you're breaking the law. You know, like, did I just do something that's illegal? Like, how come? So I called my wife and I said, hey, Pam, you know, American Express just charged our credit card $1,000. And she said, well, turn it off. I said, no, wait a second. We just made $10,000, $11,000, $12,000. Hang on. I'll call you right back. When I told her how much money we were making with our online supplement, she said, well, spend more. You know,
yeah,
my
open
wife.
Another one.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if you're making that much money, then spend more if that's what it takes.
Fill up my car.
Exactly. But it freaked me out because it's like I was working as a consultant, but suddenly I'm making like over $1 million on this supplement that I was selling online. And it freaked me out. It's like, it felt like, am I breaking the law or something? I mean, am I doing something illegal? After a while, like, now I'm okay. Hey, yeah, send money. It's fine.
Right.
But it's because you get so used to it. I mean, I wasn't a millionaire, and then suddenly money starts coming in and it freaked me out. And I started realizing that because I was a consultant, I could apply it for clients.
Yes.
And now I do work with the Small Business Administration in Southern California. I'm a very popular speaker there. A coach for like people who are starting a business or trying to get into business or in business too. I mean, I work with some pretty big businesses as well, but it's fun because I share it with people and they come back and they say, man, I never made so much money before when I started applying it. It's just, it's amazing. You know, I mean, here are some examples. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't train them to do this, but so many people do this that when you start to understand how brain glue works, you realize, whoa, I can start applying this too. So there's a mom and son in Utah, and they're watching Shark Tank, and they love Shark Tank. And so they're thinking, like, it would be really cool if we can invent the product and find someone to manufacture it for us and maybe make some money and hopefully get on Shark Tank. So the mom is, so the mom has lots of trouble. She's having trouble going to the bathroom. She's constipated. I mean, they're trying to come up with a product. And so a doctor tells her, well, when you're on the toilet, if you could raise your feet like 6 to 8 inches off the ground, it actually helps. It changes the shape of your body and makes it easier going to the bathroom. I don't want to get too much into this, but. And so she tried it and it worked. And then so they're talking, her and her son, and they're going like, wouldn't it be cool if we made a little stool that you can wrap around the toilet, and then you can, whenever you're on the toilet, you slide it out and you can put your feet on this thing. That would be really cool. So they found a manufacturer who would make it for them. And then it cost them like $6 or something each one. They sold it for $20. And so they said, we want to come up with a cool name though. So it's a toilet stool. We're not going to call it the toilet stool. That's kind of a stupid name. So they're thinking about it. What's another name for toilet? Potty. You know, like the mm-hmm. porta potty and all that stuff. Potty. Sure. Oh, cool. Well, you're kind of squatting. Squatty potty. Let's call it the squatty potty.
Oh, nice.
Sales exploded within 2 years. This is a mom and son with no business experience. And in less than 2 years, they generated $100 million of sales. $100 million.
That's wild. Okay.
All because I was in the hospital about 2.5 months ago. I got heart surgery. Not fun.
No, but Jesus.
Yeah, really. It was just, let me tell you, it was freaky. But, when they do heart surgery, by the way, they slice your rib cage and they pull it apart and then they put it back together.
Well, that's nice of them.
Thank goodness, yeah, really. But when I was in the hospital, so a nurse was talking to me and she said, so what do you do? So I said, well, I wrote this book called Brain Glue, and I started telling her about Squatty Potty. And then she says, oh, I got to tell you this. She says, I'm a nurse, so I know you want to raise your feet when you're on the toilet. So I got a little stool at my home. But I was in a store and I saw Squatty Potty and I said, oh, that's so cool. I love the name. I got to buy it. And so she bought it, even though she has a stool at home, she bought it because she loves the name.
Really?
It just blew my mind.
Wow.
But yeah, just, it's really cool. So how would you like to?
Is that emotional attachment to it then?
Yes. It's emotional selling. It's emotional attachment. You relate to it and then it just takes off like gangbusters. So how would you like to invent a product? And then somebody who you hate steals it from you and they make a fortune, but you starve to death. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah.
No. Let's get right on that.
Yeah, really. Not fun at all. So, what do you call it? I got to tell you the story. So Post Cereals is competing with Kellogg's.
Right. And they made a Netflix documentary or a Netflix show about that, I think.
Yeah, I think there was. I saw History Channel. So History Channel has some pretty good shows on what happens with them. But so the head of Post Cereal says, we got to come up. He's telling his people, we got to come up with another product, you know, besides cereal, because Kellogg's is knocking the socks off us. And so they said, let's invent something. And so they invented this little cake that's got jam inside it, like strawberry, blueberry, raspberry inside it, and you put it in your toaster, and when it pops up out of the toaster, you got this nice warm cake, right? Decides to call it Country Squares. And 3 months before he launched Country Squares, you already know what it is. 3 months before he launched Country Squares, he the head of Post promoted it to the media. And so the head of Kellogg sees this and goes like, oh, wow, what a great product. You put it in the toaster and it comes out of the toaster. Oh, guys, we got to make this. You need to figure out how to make that product. And we got to come up with a better name. So he's thinking, okay, so it pops out of the toaster. So we got to call it Pop Something. And back then, Andy Warhol was really famous as an artist. Yeah. So they called him a pop artist. So why don't we call it Pop Tarts?
Yeah,
they launched it a week before Country Squares. Okay, of course, and it exploded. It became the hottest selling product they ever had. They ran out of product. They couldn't make it fast enough. So he ran an apology in newspapers saying, "We're so sorry, but just hang on for a couple of days, and we'll have more Pop-Tarts there." Nobody bought Country Squares, and Pop-Tarts exploded in sales. After a few months, Post stopped selling Country Squares because no one was buying it. But Pop-Tarts became the hottest selling product, one of the hottest selling products in the world. In fact, last year I saw this, was reading this article. Last year they sold 3 billion Pop-Tarts. And of course, Post doesn't sell country squares, even though they invented it.
Now, in a paradoxical world, do you think if the farms came out first with their treat, that they would have been successful? Or do you think Pop-Tart still would have dominated?
Pop-Tarts would have been successful. And the reason is, so here are two Bringle tools, okay? There's one tool that's called sense elevation, which is a sense that you hear. We have like a pop, pop, a plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Alka-Seltzer. you know, as they had, you know, just they had Smells Like Teen Spirit. Know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Cobain?
Yeah. Snack, crackle, pop.
Yeah, Rice Krispies, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's like sounds and all that stuff. And so it pops out of the toaster. So pop, it's got to be pop. We got to, you know, it's a sound that everybody can relate to. And then, you know, pop art, it's a pop artist, Andy Warhol, that's called anchoring, where you're taking something that's already in the brain and you're just twisting it a little bit. You don't have to twist it. But like, let's say I'll show you how anchoring works. Let's say you're creating, there's just lots of examples of it. Let's say you're creating a dandruff shampoo. Well, you want to come up with a name. So what's a name that's already inside people's heads that has to do with dandruff shampoo?
Flakes.
Well, Head and Shoulders.
Yeah.
There's this thing that we do with kids, Head and Shoulders, Knees and Toes, Eyes, Ears, Mouth and Nose. And so they went, well, everybody knows that. Why don't we call it Head and Shoulders?
True. You know? Could have used Frosted Flakes for that even.
Well, yeah, true. But it just, you know, it takes off like gangbusters when you use it. I mean, I'll show you how powerful it is, okay? O.J. Simpson was on trial for murdering his wife and her boyfriend, okay? And Johnny Cochran, his attorney, one of his friends told him, you should tell people, you know, have O.J. fake that he's trying to glove on the glove of the murderer and it doesn't fit him. And then just tell the jury, if the glove doesn't fit, you have to acquit. Okay. And then so they found him not guilty. And after the trial, I remember two of the jurors were being asked, with all that evidence against OJ, there was so much evidence, how come you found him not guilty? And one of them said it while the other one was nodding her head in agreement. And she said, we knew if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. The glove didn't fit. We had to acquit, you know?
I probably
would have said, you know, OJ's a great actor. Remember that, okay? You have to love how he faked the glove.
Uh-huh.
You know, rhyme. But just, you know, when we start to realize how this works, you know, these tools, you start to realize, like, wow, this is really powerful, you know? I mean, rhyme is a good example. You know, if the glove doesn't fit, you have to acquit. Think of Squatty Potty is a rhyme. Famous Amos, you know, he had almost no money and he became a multimillionaire with the name Famous Amos. 7-Eleven.
Yes, these brain worms these earworms that just get stuck in there.
Yeah, exactly. Pooper Scooper.
Yeah, Pooper.
How about Lean Cuisine or Shake and Bake? You know, I mean, there are a lot of cool things. Reese's Pieces. So you start to realize rhyme is actually a pretty cool tool. And these are some of the tools that are really powerful that when you start applying it. So we had these two guys in Southern California, and they wanted to make a juice that's all natural, that's really, really good juice. Well, the number one all-natural juice was called Odwalla. It was owned by Coca-Cola, okay? But these guys, they didn't have a lot of money, but they wanted to launch this product. And so they thought it would be really cool. These guys would sit naked in their backyard all the time. So they thought it was really cool. All
right.
So they said, why don't we call it Naked Juice? But they didn't have lots of guts, okay? So they
Is thought, that for real? Are you serious?
Yeah, so they said, let's not make it really big on the labels. But they sold Naked Juice, and it sold really well. So eventually they hired a graphic artist to make labels that worked on all the labels that it really, you know, all the different products they had that they worked really well. And so the graphic artist said, we got to take the word naked and make it big across the top. And they went like, oh, I don't know, you think we should? Yeah, that's great. Their sales exploded with the name naked across the top.
I'd buy a couple. I thought it was naked because they the ingredients they used, like, it was clean. But maybe it goes both ways.
That's the second meaning for it. Yeah, it's a trigger word. nay, naked is a trigger word that wakes you up. You know, I mean, I say, you know, brain glue works so powerfully, it's like a naked guy running through your backyard. You know, if a naked guy was running through your backyard, would you notice him? Yeah. Well, that's how brain glue works.
Yes.
I worked with what's his name? The richest guy. Who is the richest guy in the world?
Jeff Bezos?
No, after him.
Elon Musk?
Yeah, just between those two guys. I'm losing my mind.
Bronson? Richard Bronson?
I'll think of his name in a second. Everybody knows him.
Bond?
Yeah, James Bond, that's right. But he has a great phrase, and his phrase is, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked.
Only when the tide goes out.
What he's basically saying is, only when times get tough do you realize who's capable and who's not capable. But if he said that, you go, yeah, okay. Warren Buffett. Sorry, Warren, I'm forgetting your name. But I work with him and his team. Well, because I'm a one of America's leading behavioral management specialists, so they brought me in when he started buying companies, which is really cool. But anyway, but the point is, he uses phrases like this, you know, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. And it's like, whoa, what? And so it's trigger words, and there are certain words that wake up your brain.
Yeah.
Kerry Smith.
As well.
Pardon?
The imagery as well. It's just depictive that you can see it.
Would you call, you know, like your podcast Dirty, the Dirty Podcast? Would we use the word dirty? And yet we got Dirty Dancing, Dirty Harry, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. We got Kerry Smith, and Kerry Smith was selling fans. Really big fans that you put in barns and stuff like that. You can put in warehouses. You know, in a barn, you're not going to have air conditioning. You put up a fan. And so he called it HVAC fans. I even forget what it was. HVLS, sorry. High volume, low speed fans. HVLS gotcha. Fans. And a friend of his was telling him, like, so describe your fan to me. So he said, it's a big fan. It's a big ass fan. And his friend starts like laughing that. And says, well, why don't you tell everybody that these are big-ass fans? So he ran an ad for big-ass fans, and sales exploded. So he decided to change the name of his company to Big-Ass Fans. And his sales, he couldn't believe it. They skyrocketed so much that after 15 years, because he was making so much money, he decided he wanted to sell the company. And they bought the company from him for $500 million. And he started basically from scratch. But it's because of big ass fans. In fact, what happened with big ass fans was, so he's selling fans like crazy. And then he figures, why don't I start selling other products too? But then he realized as he's selling other products that it's distracting him from fans. So he decides to stop everything and just focus on fans. And, you know, he's got like tons in warehouses and all this stuff. It, you know, and it takes off like gangbusters. But logically, he was calling it HVLS fans, high volume, low speed. Okay. But logic doesn't work as well as emotion. You call it big ass fans, and people go like, whoa, big ass fans. Yeah.
It's going to resonate with a lot more people. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so this lady comes up with a play, an off-Broadway play about women's rights and how hard it is sometimes being a woman. And so she's thinking of a name, and what's a good name for it? And she decides to call it The Vagina Monologues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And it's taken off like gangbusters. HBO has a series, has a special on The Vagina Monologues, just talking about her play. She's made millions of dollars from it. Crazy. All because of the name, you know? I mean, so what does Warren Buffett,
Another rich man we're talking about here?
A guy who became a billionaire, okay?
Became a billionaire.
Okay.
Mark Cuban.
Nah, bigger than Cuban.
Bigger than Cuban?
Yeah. Branson. Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. Virgin Mobile or Virgin Airlines?
Yeah, Virgin everything. I like to say, what does Richard Branson, Madonna, and olive oil have in common? The word virgin olive oil, Madonna, nice. Like a virgin. Okay, that's a blockbuster song for her. And so Richard Branson, He dropped out of school. He didn't never finished high school. And he borrowed some money from his dad because he didn't have a lot of money. And he started a magazine for musicians. And the magazine did really well. So he decided with a friend, why don't we start a record company? But we don't have a lot of money, so we got to come up with a really cool name. So why don't we call it Virgin Records? He started winning people, like the Rolling Stones became a client of his and others, you know, big, big bands because of Virgin Records. And he went like, geez, the name Virgin is so good. I got to trademark the name for all these other things. Virgin Trucking, Virgin Hotels, Virgin Airlines now, Virgin Galactic and all that stuff. And he's become a monster of a billionaire because of the word virgin. He recognized the word virgin was so powerful. I was talking to somebody, this woman, and she's in Texas. And I didn't know this because I'm in Southern California, but she says, oh, yeah, there's Virgin Hotels all over the place. I said, is it the same one? Oh, yeah, it's the same logo. It's definitely Richard Branson's hotels. They're called Virgin Hotels.
Yeah, virgin's cool. a powerful word, except in my dating profile, because I haven't got any feedback yet on that. So, I
mean, okay, well, there you go. Yeah, but just when you start to realize, support. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just Bill Clinton, James Carville was helping Bill Clinton become president of the United States. When he became president of the United States, James, on his way to becoming it, James Carville, his assistant, came up with the phrase, it's the economy, stupid. Not it's the economy, but it's the economy, stupid. And that became one of his main slogans. And he became president because of the economy. The economy was bad.
So do you think that a catchy name is more important than the product? Can the product be mediocre, but if you have a killer name, a viral name, that your business will be just fine?
Yeah, you make a lot more money. I see this once I started recognizing Brain Glue, which is about, you know, about maybe 8 or 9 years ago that I discovered it was Brain Glue. I started to realize how rich people are. They tend to be a lot richer than everybody else. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're starting a hotel, okay? You know, you want to call it Hooters? You think Hooters is a successful, these guys are millionaires? They're multi-millionaires. Yeah, I like to think so. I mean, it's just, in fact, I live in Southern California, in Thousand Oaks, and they were going to open up a Hooters restaurant in Thousand Oaks. And Hooters doesn't have naked women, okay? I mean, they wear bikini types, you know, stuff, but, you know, shorts. But then good-looking women, you know, all that stuff, but that's cool. But it sounds like it's the Playboy Club, right? Yeah. Hooters. And so we have people that were protesting. They wouldn't allow Hooters to build one of their restaurants in Thousand Oaks. So of course, they built it next to Thousand Oaks, the next city now. But it's like, I'm looking at it going, it's Hooters. It's not, you know, there's something about the name that makes people show up there or hate it, you know?
Right, right. Well, then there was a spinoff even of it too, like Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, yep. That was one of his buddies that left.
That was one of his buddies, huh?
Yep. Yeah, Twin Peaks. I didn't know Twin Peaks until I was doing the research, and it's like, oh, that's what Twin Peaks is all about. I get it.
Yeah, away with those owls. We're going to go see mountains.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it just, you know, it sticks to the brain like glue. And these things, when it sticks in, you know, Hooters, you only have to, they don't even have to spend money on advertising. You just have to have a good location and put the name Hooters up there. People are going to go like, what the hell is that?
That's
Hooters,
right.
That's pretty cool. I got to check it out. I remember In-N-Out Burgers that uses another tool called chiasmus, which is a flip. Like all for one and one for all. You know, it's a flip like that. In and out. Okay? It's like the Beatles have a song that uses chiasmus. They go, you say yes, I say no. You say stop, and I say go, go, go. It's opposites, okay? So In-N-Out Burgers, they didn't have a lot of money. It was a family business. But they got a location that was near a McDonald's. Obviously, it's got to be near other restaurants. And they didn't have enough money to build an inside restaurant, so they made it a drive-through restaurant. So they wanted to come up with a name, and so they came up with In-N-Out, which is called chiasmus. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's opposites, okay? And In-N-Out also means sex to a lot of people.
That's right.
And I remember I'm driving down the street with my wife to go to a McDonald's, and we pass In-N-Out, and I look at it, oh, there's In-N-Out. In-N-Out? We got to check that out. We checked it out. And, of course, you have to have good product. If you have crappy product, you know, Pringle is not going to help you. But how many people have really good product, but you struggle? Well, the guys from In-N-Out Burger, the family, are like multimillionaires. They're in California and a bunch of Western states. They grow and they expand like crazy. You know, they have good product, but they also have a great name, and it's the name that grabs people's attention. Because if you have like $10 million, if you're a big company, and I work with, you know, companies like Kraft Foods and stuff like that, and they'll often have $10 million and more to spend on advertising. So you can have a crappy name. It's not going to make a difference because you're spending $10 million, okay?
You know, the job that I would love to entertain is like the creative side of that, of like being a consultant and coming up with these creative names or jingles or something.
Right.
How do you get involved with that?
Well, buy my book. Yeah. Pringle.
I will for sure.
Yeah, but no, it's just people are doing it all the time. I got people who are changing the names of their, you know, they just hear this and they start changing the name of their product. And it's you have to understand that sometimes it takes guts. So I know this guy named David Baer, B-A-E-R, and he and his partner have a company that works with advertisers. Right. Okay, it helps them grow their business. Advertisers, you know, people, small advertisers, you know, some guy who works out of their home or something, but they have an advertising company. And so I couldn't remember the name of their company, but I said, you know, your name is Bear. I got a perfect name for your company, Bear Naked Advertising. You know, and like you were saying with Naked Juice, and Naked is like natural, okay?
Yeah.
I said, you should call it Bear Naked Advertising. His partner starts laughing and goes, yes, nobody remembers our name. We have to call it that. But he goes, I don't know if I want Naked next to my name. So he never did it, which is nuts, because Bare Naked Advertising would, I'm willing to bet, because I've worked with so many companies and people who have had products and we change the name of the product and sales exploded. That, you know, he doesn't understand that his sales would actually go up even more. I still honestly can't remember the name of their company.
Bare Naked,
Bare
is
Naked
nuts.
Advertising, I'd remember.
Literally nuts.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we want a name that does two things, okay? The first thing it does is it grabs their attention, because all of us are so overwhelmed with, you know, advertising and stuff on our phones and, you know, everything else, that guys who wear hats and all that stuff that have advertising on them, that we're overwhelmed with, you know, knowledge and information that's being thrown at us. So then people will see your ad or see your sign or whatever else it is, or your book, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus or whatever. And the first thing it's got to do is grab their attention, because they just look at it and it pass over it really fast. That's the first thing it does. And then the second thing, it's got to talk about, you know, it's got to wake them up. So they go like, hey, I'm going to check this out. This is pretty cool. Okay. And so, metaphors is one of the tools, okay? So Paul Tran invented an electric razor for man's private areas, electric shaver for man's private areas, okay? I don't know why I got into this stuff, but it's a good example.
We all have, brother.
Yeah, exactly. And so he goes, so I need to come up with a name that people will know what the product is, but I don't want to offend people. So I can come up with, So it's just like a lawnmower. Why don't I call it the lawnmower? In fact, he changed the name of his company to Manscaped. We're going to landscape the man with the lawnmower. Sales exploded, okay?
Yeah, that's one of the most creative ones, like the bushwhacker that they got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just – but so for the lawnmower, I remember I was in like a Bed Bath & Beyond or something like that with my wife. She was looking to buy something. And they had a big poster, and it said – a white poster, and it said the lawnmower. It had an arrow and pointed to the electric razor. Underneath that, it had text. And I'm like, what the hell, a lawnmower? What's that? And there were two guys over there reading it. And I went over and I'm reading it. I go, oh, we're going to all start laughing. One of the guys bought it, okay? So I never bought the lawnmower. I don't know, I didn't need it or whatever. But if I bought the lawnmower, I could see him calling my friend Joe. Hey, Joe, did you guess what I just bought? What? The lawnmower. Oh, you have to mow your lawn? No. It's the shaved man's private areas.
I trimmed my bush.
I could hear him calling his wife. Hey, Mary, guess what James just bought? What? The lawnmower. Oh, he has to mow his lawn? No. It's to shave his private areas. And suddenly it takes off like viral advertising, you know?
That's really good. Yeah.
That's what we want, is we want to come up with a name that goes viral, a name that grabs their attention and helps them understand, you know, what their product is. I know this, I have this friend who has an IT company, you know, internet technology. So his slogan is, "We take the SH out of IT."
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice. Yeah.
So yeah, just, I mean, you just, we want to grab attention. And so the first thing you want to do is you want to, I know this woman, she spent no money, not a nickel, and she has more than 5 million fans on Facebook. Okay. How do you get that?
Yeah.
Well, she wanted to create a page on Facebook. She's a stay-at-home mom. And so she's going, well, okay, why don't I talk about myself? Mommy, what does mommy need? Mommy needs time to herself. Mommy needs a rest. It's exhausting being a mommy. Oh, I know what mommy needs. Mommy needs vodka. So she creates this page, Mommy Needs Vodka. So one of my friends must be one of her fans, and I got a copy of one of the posts she has, and it's really funny. I said, oh, that's a pretty cool post. Oh, wait, it's by Mommy Needs Vodka? What the hell's that? Clicked on that, went to her page. I liked her other posts, and I suddenly became a fan. Okay? And she has over 5 million fans. She wasn't selling anything. Today she's trying to sell stuff on it because she has so many fans. But I mean, how many people have really great Facebook pages and yet you don't have 5 million fans and you try to spend money on advertising or marketing. And yet here's this woman who spends zero and she has more than 5 million fans. And that's why we want to learn.
All organic too.
Oh yeah, exactly. And that's why we want to learn how to grab attention. When you learn how to grab attention, I mean, if you're trying to sell something, you want to grab attention. And by the way, it also works if you're trying to kill a competitor. there's people that hated Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread was around for like about 100 years, and they invented sliced bread. So
Wonder Bread did?
Yeah, Wonder Bread invented sliced bread.
They often have the sliced bread.
Yeah, that we say, well, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. We don't realize we're actually referring to Wonder Bread. They invented sliced bread.
Wow.
And so for 10 years, they dominated the bread market, and other bread suppliers hated them. Okay. And it's bleached white bread. They came up with a slogan, the whiter your bread, the quicker you're dead.
Whoa.
And almost threw them into bankruptcy. So what happened is we had COVID. Back then, they had this thing, this disease that was. I even forget the name of the disease. Pellagra, that's what it was.
Pellagra?
Pellagra it was called. And people would die or would get really sick, like COVID. And it was because there's an absence of vitamin B3 in the system. Now they have niacin. They put niacin in products and it adds vitamin B3. But back then, it was bleached bread. And because they bleached a Wonder Bread, it killed off all the vitamins and minerals. Right. And so the competitors actually said to journalists, the whiter your bread, the quicker you're dead. Do you realize that? They went, no. I said, yeah. And they started explaining how it's lacking vitamin B3. And Wonder Bread went from dominating the bread industry to almost bankrupt almost overnight. Wow. Okay. Wonder Bread invented, when you start putting vitamins and minerals in your food. And they put up, they put in niacin, which has the vitamin B3, and it helped them recover. They never became the dominant anymore, but they did recover and stopped going. But they literally almost went bankrupt because the competitors came up with the phrase, the whiter your bread, the quicker you're dead.
I like that. That's some warfare right there.
Oh, yeah. And it's, they use it in the elections. You know, Biden knocked the socks off Trump for the first time because of Biden's Build Back Better, right?
Right, right.
Not only that, but that's it. You know, now he lost this time because it wasn't actually Build Back or Better.
Anyway, right.
Don't want to get into that. But I mean, from a politician standpoint, buh, 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 alliteration, repetition of sound. You got Best Buy, Build-A-Bear, Bed Bath & Beyond, okay? And it doesn't have to be just B's, but a lot of B words, okay? Weight Watchers. You think it's a coincidence? Woo woo. Weight Watchers. PayPal. Coca-Cola. TikTok. I had this guy who's starting a haircut place. And he was asking me, I think I want to turn it into a franchise. What would be a good name for a franchise? So I'm going, Haircut? Okay. Haircut Heroes. And they're going like, oh, what a cool name. Haircut Heroes. That would be a cool name for a haircut place. You know, alliteration, repetition of sound. And so, yeah, this when you start to learn these tools, you start realizing like, whoa, you know, I can come up with a name or a phrase that's rhymes or, you know, or uses alliteration or repetition of sound or one of the other tools. I got 14 tools, and people go through this and they go like, whoa, hey, you know, they call me or send me an email showing me what they came up with. And then they call me back in about 6 months and say, look how much money I made. That's cool. Actually really cool.
Let's get a little bit more philosophical. I want to know where you think ideas come from.
Well, so when I started in sales, I hated sales. Today, I love sales. I have to understand the science of how selling works, and I teach people sales. And Brain Glue is a lot about sales. But when I was young and I hated sales, I went to a Zig Ziglar workshop with my wife. And he changed my life because he said this thing that was profound. And he said, selling is nothing more than a transference of passion. If you're passionate about something, if you saw a movie you love, you go like, oh, man, this movie, you know, The Martian. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Martian. I love that movie. And you don't have to tell me how to sell it. It's like, man, it was awesome. Whatever else it is. Okay. And so when you understand that selling is nothing more than a transference of passion, and then we understand that school taught us to be logical. But you need emotion. You need to trigger emotion because people buy for emotional reasons. In marketing, we have this term. We say we want people to know, like, and trust you. That's emotion. If you don't like somebody, are you going to buy something from them? If the guy's a creep or a jerk, you know? Probably not, unless you're about to die and you need what he's got. But usually, you know, you get, and it's emotion. And so what you want with your product is the same thing. You want a name. I'll go back to the Squatty Potty. You know, this nurse told me about, I love the name so much, I end up buying the Squatty Potty. It's like, but you already have one. I know, but it was so cool. I own Squatty Potty now. It's like, okay. She's laughing. You know, laughers are buyers. You don't only have to make them laugh, but laughers are buyers. And so for alliteration, okay, let's say, which is the repetition of sound. So let's say you create a glue, okay, a really cool glue. And so I always do a metaphor first. It's just like, okay, like, you know, the lawnmower, okay? It's just like a lawnmower. So it's just like what? So it's as strong as an elephant. Okay, so that's one. But let's use alliteration, the repetition of sound, glue, gorilla glue. Gorilla Glue knocked the socks off this thing called JB Weld. I know a ton of people in construction who say JB Weld is much better than Gorilla Glue. And yet you go to the store, you know, and you'll see there's tons of Gorilla Glue, and there's like no, JB Weld has like two samples, if they have any, you know, or two examples. And it's because the name sticks to the brain like glue, you know? It's really cool.
So when you're coming up with ideas, What is your method? Like, when do your ideas pop into your head? Like, are you asleep and then something will pop into your head? Is it like when you're running, when you're doing activities? Like, when do you find the best time to channel these creative ideas?
Well, by the book, first of all, because the book gives you lots of examples. But I want to give you an example. Jack Canfield wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. And he sold so many books. He sold 100 million Chicken Soup for the Souls and 400 million of the other ones. Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, Chicken Soup for the Cancer Survivor Soul, and all that. And he sold 60 other bestsellers. But he's telling me about Chicken Soup for the Soul. When he bought my book, and he's forcing everybody in his company to read it and use it, okay? Because he doesn't want to be, he wants to compete against everybody else, and he realizes this is the secret. But he's telling me, so when he came up with the book, it's 101 stories, motivating stories that'll change your life. And he's going, I guess we can call it 101 motivating stories that'll change your life, but I don't want to call it that. He didn't realize why, he said back then. After he read my book, he said, now I understand why. But emotionally, he said, I want a more emotional title. And it took him about a month, and then he realized, you know, chicken soup makes you feel good if you're sick often. You know, my book is like chicken soup. Why don't I call it Chicken Soup for the Spirit? And it doesn't totally work, but it's kind of close. Chicken Soup for the Spirit. And then he said for a weekend, he had sleepless nights. And then he said, S-O-U-P, soup, S-O-U-L, soul. It's alliteration. Okay, it kind of goes with the sound. Chicken Soup for the Soul. That's the title. And then he came up with the title. And because of that, he became massively wealthy. Okay.
Doesn't it just seem like some of these things are meant to be? It almost just seems like it's meant to be. Like, that's a perfect title. That's a perfect name.
Well, but let's go back to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. You know, he wrote the book. He loved the book, and he called it Men, Women, and Relationships. Logical. Okay? And then he was in this seminar where he's trying to promote the book, and he said something, and all the women started laughing, and all the men looked at the women and went, "What's so funny?" And then he said, "You see, there are some things that men that women laugh at and men don't get. There's some things that men laugh at and women don't get. There's some things that everybody laughs at. And so one of the women said, "It's almost like men are from a different planet. What planet do you think men are from?" And he goes, "Men are from Mars." And everybody started laughing. But when he got home, he's thinking, "Okay, men are from Mars. That got everybody, more people to interact with my talking about my book than anything else I said."
Yeah.
If men are from Mars, where are women from? Well, women are from Venus. Venus is the god of love. Huh. What if I call it Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and then just go through the book and refer to that, but keep the same book, as, you know, I talked about this. But it came emotionally. And what we need is we need to emotionally trigger the person. I have these business-to-business companies, okay? Yeah. And they do this all the time. These guys, these four or five guys are partners in this company that sell rags. And they sell them to, like, car dealerships and car repair places and stuff like that. And they wanted a really cool name. So one of the funny name for rags is pigs. He said, one of the guys said, "I don't know why, but they call them pigs. You got any pigs? So why don't we call our company New Pig Corporation?" They have a catalog. They call it the Pigalog. Okay. They're almost a $1 billion company. These guys couldn't believe it. They would have a salesman, one of the partners first, but eventually they started growing, and they had hats made with a pig's nose on the front and a pig's tail on the back. And they said, "If you buy rags from us, I'll give you one of these hats." And they were like, "Yeah, okay." And they're competing with other rag sellers, okay? And yet they became almost a $1 billion company, you know, over about 20 years, but still they became about a $1 billion company, and they're laughing. Laughers are buyers. You know, "Hey, we're New Pig Corporation." "Really? What do you sell? Pigs?" "Oh, rags." "Okay. But I'll give you a pig hat." "Okay."
"All right, sure."
And they became like rich, but laughing. You know, I saw this guy who had a t-shirt and it said, "Life sucks and then you die." And I'm like, "No, this is life right now. You got to have fun with it." And so, you know, if laughers are buyers. If you can get somebody laughing, there's a good chance they're going to buy. You know, from you. Not always. You don't have to be funny, but if you can be funny, so be it, you know? And it just makes me realize, like, we got to have fun right now. If you're selling a product or a service, you know, you still want to have as much fun as possible. You know, laughing, they discovered this, that people who laugh a lot live longer. It actually helps your body because it triggers oxytocin, which actually makes your body fight off all kinds of illnesses. It's really good.
You know what a woman told me one time, and I'll never forget this, is that she was looking at me and she's like, "What I find most attractive is that you kind of have some wrinkles below your eyes." I'm like, "Why would you find that kind of attractive?" She's like, because I know that you smile and laugh a lot.
Exactly. There you right? go. Exactly.
Like, wow. I was like, "You just changed my life forever by saying that." Because when I note, like, if I notice that in the mirror, I'm kind of like, "Oh man, I'm getting older. This sucks." Then someone else sees it as, "You must have a good time because you laugh and smile a lot. So that's why you're creased up right there by your eyes. You seem like a jolly person."
Women, it's the easiest way to attract women. I have this guy, I have quite a few people that said this, but this guy is telling me, you know, I was able to pick up, I was trying to get a, you know, I could pick up girls easier using stuff from your book. I'm like, it's not really made for that. But he says, no. He said, there's this woman, gorgeous. She is I love her, you know. But I have no idea how to get a date with her. But because in the book, I talk about the fact that there is an honest moment. You know, you want to say something that you know, something about yourself. Like I would say, I'm in marketing. And when I saw Steve Jobs got a camera on a phone, I'm like, who needs a camera on a phone?
Right.
Right. Boy, was I clueless.
Yeah,
boy, were you wrong. This marketing guy, okay? I mean, I used to see how many pictures I have on my phone. Okay. So he says, I used that. I went and I said, I have, you know, I don't have no idea what to say to go on a date with you, but I really want to go on a date with you. Can you help me and tell me some of the things I would have to say to you that would make you interested enough that you want to go on a date with me? And pretty she good. Starts laughing. I start pretty laughing.
Good. I'm not going to lie. And it's pretty good.
Said, I'm on my second date with her now. It's awesome. I love her. I'm probably going to marry her. I love, That's love, awesome. Love her.
Yeah. That's good.
But yeah,
communication is key. What can I say?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got to interact. You got to interact.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you what you think the best invention out there is.
The best invention?
The best invention. What do you think is the best invention? Obviously, it's subjective, but what do you think the best invention is? I'll tell you what mine is. Mine's the car. I think the car is the best thing that we have.
Okay.
You know, just because I was imagining while you're thinking, I'll tell you a little bit about I was driving down the road and it was cold out and it was raining. I'm like, man. I couldn't imagine being on a horse or in a buggy or walking down like this path of road for miles to get to a destination.
Right.
I'm so comfortable right now with heated seats. I have a windshield wiper. My car is enclosed. I have doors. I have windows. I have heat. I have AC. Like, let's not take that for granted. So I'm thinking the car makes a pretty good bet on what the best invention is. I just think it's amazing. I was really falling in love with my car while I was driving it, thinking about how poor people back in the day had to like just walk everywhere, ride a horse and come in terms with nature, you know, where right. if it's a blizzard, you're done for.
Right. Well, yeah. I like parachutes or I like cars. I agree. I like planes. I think planes are really cool. But I think parachutes are cool because you jump out of an airplane and just come down.
Interesting one.
Yeah, well, yeah, really. But I saw these guys, and I definitely want to get one of these, that they have this thing that's like a parachute, and they have a fan that's connected to it.
Oh,
and you're
yeah.
on the ground, and you use the fan, and it gets you up in the air, and then you can move it, go forward, go backwards, and all that stuff. And you actually fly around with this fan and this parachute type thing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You, sir, are a thrill seeker. You are James Bond. that goes yeah. hand-to-hand. Shit.
Yeah, exactly. What can I say?
All right. And now, is there something on your mind that was like the worst invention? Something that you see is just like, why does this exist? I'll tell you mine while you think of it. I was thinking, I thought of this when I was a little kid, so it holds true to my heart, and that's homework. Homework sucks, and I wish okay. it was never invented.
Well, it's got to be cool. If you have some cool homework, it's fun. You gotta have some friends.
That's right.
You know, I mean, if you just, I hated math.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, math sucked. They said you never have a calculator in your pocket. And now look at us. We have a freaking NASA computer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was working with finance guys. Okay. I was doing coaching for finance guys, by the way. I use trigger words with them. Okay. So they would do an analysis of somebody's, insurance policy. They would look at the insurance policy and then they'd come back and give them feedback on it. And I said, so you got to use the word vomit. Vomit? Yeah. I said, just, you know, you tell them, I don't want you to vomit, but did you see what's in this thing? And they go like, what? Because we use the word vomit. But math, and I don't hate math. Although there was a time in my life when I did. But a lot of people hate math. I think more than half the people in the world hate math. Fair. And so these guys were talking, two guys were talking to this famous musician. I don't want to say who it was. And they're trying to talk him into doing this. He's, you know, invested some stuff with them. And they're talking to him about how much money he's going to make. You're going to make like 8% or I don't know, whatever the percentage was on this thing. It's going to really help you. And I could see the musicians kind of looking at him with glassy eyes. It's like, oh, when you're talking money at me, you're throwing percentages, who cares, you know? And I said, hey, look, and this is true. I said, John Lennon used it before he died, and it helped him save most of his money so he could pass it on to his family. He said, John Lennon used it? Yeah, I'm very interested, okay? But when the guy was throwing numbers at him, he was like, yeah. Who cares?
Unrelatable.
You know, I have this great line. It goes, Americans discard 2.5 million plastic bottles every hour. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. What if I told you that's enough to reach the moon every 3 weeks?
Jeez. That hits a little bit more home.
Whoa. Now you have perspective, you know?
Yeah, perspective. That's what it is. Yeah.
And people
you have to understand your audience and then perspective.
And that's why you gotta explain stuff in such a way that people understand what you're talking about. I can't, you know, people will be talking about it forever. I have this guy who's a chiropractor, and he was in one of my workshops. And so I'm talking to him, and I said, so tell me about it. He says, well, we have a spine, whatever the heck it was. I don't even remember what he said. And I said, does anybody understand what he just said? Raise your hand. Nobody did. And I said, what is it? He said, and as he's describing it, I said, you should call yourself the straight spine specialist. We have this device that helps your spine go straight so you actually can walk farther without having pain. You can carry stuff without having pain and everything else.
Beautiful.
It's a straight spine specialist. I said, you're talking about a technical term and then nobody knows what you're talking about, but you explain this to everybody. He said, yeah, that's part of my pitch. I said, yeah, how many people become your clients?
It's part of my pitch.
There's a pause. Yeah, well, we got to make it easy. You know, Einstein has a really good line.
Does your spine look like the McDonald's arches?
we can help you out. Well, that's a good one. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Albert Einstein, he was the world's smartest man, had a really good line, and he said, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you probably don't understand it well enough.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's very believable. I understand that,
profound.
Too.
He used to go across the street when he was living in Austria. He used to go across the street, and there was a park across the street with little kids, and he would describe his stuff to little kids, and if they didn't understand it, he would figure out how to describe it in such a way that they would understand it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
But everything we say, we have to do it the same way. We got to describe it. You know, if I said, this brain glue is so powerful, it grabs attention like a naked man running through your backyard. What?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, okay, maybe that's not the best one, but it's just, you know, I mean, the lawnmower, everybody knows what that is once you hear it once.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to make it easier for people to understand what we're offering and emotionally trigger their brain so that they go like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Right. That goes back to the chiropractor. Like, you probably have a wonderful understanding yourself, but what's your ability to relay that to, in layman's terms, to like regular people?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. I said, so it helps with a straight spine, you know, straighten out your spine. Who cares?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And he goes, oh, no, you don't understand, because you start showing the stuff.
Perfectly.
Right? It takes him like 15 or 20 minutes to explain something. I call it the 6-second selling. Okay. Within 6 seconds, you got to explain enough that people go like, whoa, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more. You know, if you can't do it in 6 seconds, then, you know, you don't understand it well enough to be able to sell it.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to ask you one more thing before we wrap this up. And I want to say thank you very much for coming on the podcast and spending some time with us. Thank you very much.
Your podcast is awesome. You guys, anybody who's listening to this one, you got to listen to some of the other ones. They're awesome. I was almost late because I was listening to another one of your podcasts. So,
James Bond's the man. You're awesome. Let me ask you this. This is kind of out there, but I'm curious, because everything around us came from an idea. Everything you see came from an idea, right? All these inventions, like the mm-hmm. if you're sitting at a chair right now, someone made it. The desk, microphone, blah 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 blah. Do you entertain the simulation theory?
What do you mean?
The simulation theory, like this is a simulation. This is a virtual reality. It's not real. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
You've never heard of that before?
No.
Oh my God, dude, I'm gonna have to send you some information on this.
Okay.
That essentially we live in a video game is where this, and you're gonna say that I'm batshit crazy because this is the first time you've heard of it, but some serious scientists are looking into this. Elon Musk has talked about, there's like some real serious hard-headed scientists that are trying to make a case for this. And I was just wondering if you entertain that idea, just because the time we live in right now just seems so convenient to be alive at this exact moment with all of the inventions around us, but you know, the car, the computer, everything's just so convenient, right?
Oh, well, I grew up with, I'm old enough to, I remember black and white TV, And then we had color TV, and then we had, you know, we didn't have phones that we carried around with us. I mean, it's really cool to see all the changes that happened. By the way, in marketing, we have a term that's called verisimilitude, which is the perception of reality. And it's one of the things we let people know. Reality doesn't exist. Everything is perception. So if you think something is good or something is bad,
yes,
you know, it's our perception. Yeah. If I think that's, you know, wow, you invented this phone with a camera in it. Who needs that? I was stupid. Right. It was my perception. Once I started using it, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you just answered it right there. I mean,
geez, we're really creative. I think it's one of those things. That's why Elon Musk is amazing, because he isn't just rich, but he invents really cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, he's like having fun creating stuff. And I think that the best companies we have, you know, that we work with, or the best products we have, are creative. You know,
something, I mean, he's a Martian.
Yeah,
he's
really.
Trying to get back to Mars because he's so obsessed with going to Mars.
But I went through Steve Jobs and his life, okay? And all of it, like, I mean, and so Steve Jobs, his dad taught him that when you make a phone or any device, but a computer, phone, or everything else, the part that's inside the container that nobody sees should still be as good as the outside. He made boxes. If you bought an Apple computer or an Apple phone, the box was amazing. People would save the box because the box was so cool. True. You know? You got to understand it. If you want people to be passionate about what you're doing, you want to try to make every little piece of it passionate. And what I'm amazed by is, so people say, yeah, but we want to get it to the market. Well, you can still get it to the market pretty fast, but if you take a little bit of time, you can make it so much better. You know. And it's fun. I work with this. One of the companies I work with makes electronic devices. And different departments didn't talk to each other. The R&D department, research and development department, and the construction, the engineers who make the product, never talked to each other. And the reason they didn't was the R&D people didn't want to get ideas. They wanted to come up with the best ideas, so they didn't want to get the engineers that make the products. They didn't want to meet in a room together with them.
I can understand that, kind of like, you don't want to understand the technicalities of it, like how it actually works. It might kind of taint your brain.
Yeah. But then we got them sitting together, working together, and they were all coming up with products. It took them 4 years to come up with a new product. When 60 and 80 days, a little over 2 months, they came up with the hottest selling product they ever came up with.
Well, there you go.
By interacting with each other.
Yeah, what do you want from me? There you go. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's the saying? The answer's in the pudding. How's it go? Is that the saying? You know what I'm talking about? Something's in the pudding. Anyways, James, I appreciate you being here, man. Thanks for sharing some knowledge with us. You can just tell that you are passionate. You found what you love and you're doing it. So
greatly appreciate you, man.
Thanks for being out there.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. Life's fun. We got to have fun.
I agree. How can people find you? Do you got social media? And then let people know how they can buy your book.
Well, if you go to it's on Amazon. So you can go to Amazon, but if you go to yesbrainglue.com, yesbrainglue, I've got tons of information on it. So I think you'll find it really interesting.
Cool. Awesome. Bond, James Bond. Appreciate you being here. Thanks for taking the time. Pleasure talking with you, man.
You too, Jay. You're lots of fun.
Thank you. Everyone at home, be good. We'll see you later on the next one. Peace out.
Welcome to the Curiosity Chamber.